Greater Lisbon Christian Academy and being involved in our little church, Igreja Batista Dolores. And much in part to your prayer and financial support, and we want to say thank you. My wife Joyce is with me this morning. She'll be coming in to share a little word of testimony in just a little bit. Just as a matter of review, we have three children, oldest daughter Christine and her husband Jason, and two children live in Des Moines. And we're really enjoying getting to know grandchildren. We're back on our little short furlough. Our middle daughter, Angela, who just finished her junior year at Moody Bible Institute, is in Portugal. She's taking our place, so to speak. Her major at Moody is linguistics, and she is doing an internship there in Portugal this summer and ministering in some sports camps and a lot of different variety of things. But we're so thankful for her and the fact that she's over there. She's living in our apartment and doing those things, keeping things going. And our youngest daughter, Charity, would have been here this morning, but she is preparing to go on a missions trip of her own next week with our church, Grammy Park Baptist. And so she has to be there this morning for some training and preparation. But she brings greetings as well, especially to Beth. No, I think she's right back there. Okay. And Charity got to know Beth at Water and Work Week up at Clear Lake Camp and really enjoyed the time there. She really did. Came back speaking very highly of you and enjoyed the time. So this morning, we're going to share a little bit, some words of encouragement, testimony, some things that have been taking place in Portugal. And then we have a slide presentation, a PowerPoint presentation that will kind of give you an idea of what we've been doing. We have a song we'd like to sing for you in Portuguese. But first of all, I want to talk to just the kids for just a little bit. So, you're all out there. Why don't you come up here in the front for me, will you please? If you're, let's say, we won't embarrass the high schoolers or junior highers, but sixth grade and below. Just stand right up, right there in the front, okay? Good morning to you. How are you guys? Fine, fine, good. Okay, I'm going to give you a little challenge here. This is a globe, right? I want you to see if you can find Portugal on my little globe. Think you can do it? No? Maybe? Okay, here we go. Catch the ball. See if you can find Portugal. Now, Portugal's in Europe. Oh, she didn't want to try. Neither did she. Oh, she's going to find it. Well, she should know. She's from our church back in Grandview. It's pink. Yeah, very good. Show it to everybody there. Show it to all the kids. Where Portugal would be. All right, good. Portugal, the farthest western country in Europe, right next to Spain, bordered on two sides by the Atlantic Ocean. Very good. Did you find it? Okay, give me the gold back. Thank you. Oh, thank you very, very much. You guys find it? Oh, hurry up. Find it for me. Come on. There you go. Good job. Very good. Okay, one more thing. Yeah, you did a good job. One more thing. I'm going to have these guys demonstrate the way we greet each other in Portugal on a Sunday morning. When we come to our church on a Sunday morning, we greet each other with a kiss. You don't like that? It's real simple. And you can just go do this with your parents or whatever. But it's really simple. Sweetie, come on up here. I won't embarrass any of these guys. They might really get embarrassed. In our church in Portugal, we greet each other with a kiss. Women with women, men with women, but not men with men. We don't kiss each other. Okay? So you're safe. What's your name? Cody, you're safe, bud. Oh, this is all we do. Just like this, bud. Yeah. You can do that? Okay, but this is how we do it in Portugal. We kiss each other on the cheek, just like this. And we say, bom dia.
Bon dia. Can you say that? Bon dia. All right. So everybody stand up, and they're going to come by and greet you. Go greet somebody with a bon dia. Good job. Oh boy, that's a stretch, isn't it? Good job, very good, proud of you. And everybody's going, oh boy, I'm glad that's over. Kent, thank you. What a interesting little cultural experience there, right? One of many that we had in our time in Portugal. And God has been good. As I mentioned, we've been involved in language school, learning the Portuguese language, and I've been involved teaching at Greater Lisbon Christian Academy in Lisbon, Portugal. My wife works in the office in the library. And so we've had a great time experiencing God's control and God's provision for us these past 2 years. We came back to the States in April to finish raising support. I don't know if you remember when we presented the last time. We left a little earlier than we had anticipated for Portugal because the school needed teachers desperately. So we went over as short-term missionaries. And then we returned to finish raising our support, and we're going back as career missionaries in August, where I will be the administrator and teacher at Greater Lisbon Christian Academy. My wife will still work in the office and the library and other things. So we're excited about what God's going to do. Right now, I'd like to have my wife come and share a little word of testimony with you. Then after she's finished, we're going to sing a song in Portuguese, just to kind of give you a flavor of the Portuguese language, and then we'll take it from there. Pull up that microphone. There you go.
Okay. Is that better? All right. It's very good to be here. As Cal mentioned, I don't know, he said it in Sunday school, Cedar Rapids is home to us. We grew up, he grew up near the Amana colonies. I grew up in Cedar Rapids at Calvary Baptist Church, where I was saved and came to know the Lord. So Cedar Rapids is very special to me. It's home in many ways. And we've enjoyed Blair Ridge over the years, getting to know some of you. Been here a number of times, not necessarily always speaking, but just visiting when we were in town, visiting family. So it's good to be home, and I want to echo his thanks to you for your prayer support and your support of our lives. Well, they say that you can't really understand somebody else unless you've walked a mile in their shoes, if you're old enough to remember that phrase. I wear size 8. I thought I'd take you for a little walk in my shoes over the last couple of years and let you experience how our lives have changed. Picture having lived in the same town for 19 years, or ministered in the same town, same job for 19 years, lived in the same home for 17 years, raised your family there in Des Moines. And then as you're 43 years old, married to an older man who's 45 years old, I always have to get that in if I can. God calls you in and tells you that he wants you to go someplace else, and not just another town. You know, a move to Cedar Rapids would have been easy, but across the ocean, a couple thousand miles, to the land of Portugal, where all of a sudden you're learning a new language, a new culture. There were a lot of adjustments, and as Cal said, God's been good, but it was a stretch for us. We aren't, you know, not being in our 20s anymore, language acquisition was a challenge. It still is a challenge that's ahead of us. We're getting a lot better, but for those first few weeks that we were, and months really, that we were in Portugal, we would go to church on Sunday mornings and not understand a thing that was happening. You know, we'd watch to see if people were standing or sitting, but we understood nothing, and it was hard to even stay awake. And I've grown up in the church and been a believer since I was 7 years old. I like church. You know, church is my life. But there were Saturdays where I began to think maybe I'm not going to feel well tomorrow because I didn't like going to church, and that was a new experience for me. But it was just hard. It was hard because we couldn't understand the language. Our daughter Charity was 13 when we took her across the ocean with us, away from her two older sisters and her grandparents and all that, her friends that she'd grown up with in school and in church. And you know what? She caught on to the language thing a lot quicker than we did. And pretty soon, within I don't know how many weeks, she would be leaning over to me and saying, what chapter did he say, or what verse did he say? And I had no clue he had even said a passage of Scripture. So she was catching on and quickly became our interpreter. And some of the other missionary kids and some of the nationals in the church took it on as a project to help Charity learn Portuguese. And she does a good job. While we struggled for month after month after month in class learning the rules and why you do what you do, Charity just picked up the language more naturally. She doesn't know why, and we tell her why because we like to feel like we know something, but she just learned to communicate, and she's a great help to us. So that was the first change that we experienced was language. Culture, Cal mentioned the greeting, very different. The Portuguese people don't have the same need for personal space that we Americans usually have. There could be a room with lots of empty seats, but they'd come and sit right by you as if it was the only empty seat in the place. They just like to be close. We had church dinners once a month where we would be in different people's homes, and everybody's home that in our church is an apartment, some very small, some a little bit bigger, and we'd have 30, 35, 40 people in some living room where there were definitely not enough chairs, barely enough room for us to all stand up and eat and get by the table and get our food, but it was nothing to them. They loved that close fellowship. For us, again, it was a stretch, especially because we couldn't understand what anyone was saying as we started going to those dinners. But God's been good. God's allowed us to really feel a part of that church family, to really establish a friendship and relationship with our national pastor and his wife. His wife and I began meeting weekly for prayer. Thankfully, his wife speaks English very well. In the past, she has been a language teacher for some of the missionaries. So she's easy to understand, and she helped us a lot. But we began to meet together and pray. She would pray in Portuguese, I'd pray in English, and we began to be able to really fellowship in that way and pray for the needs of the church and pray for the needs of the people in the community that needed to trust Christ. In Portugal, Cal mentioned in Sunday school, 97% of the people are Roman Catholic. That is, to be Portuguese is to be Roman Catholic. You'll see that in our PowerPoint presentation. But we began to realize early on that if you told people you were Baptist or missionary, they had no idea what that concept meant. What's that? What's a Baptist? And sometimes they would say, oh, you're an evangelical, which seems kind of strange to us that they would know that term. But to them, an evangelical is anybody who's not a Catholic. They would lump us in with the Mormons, with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and the other cults that are there. And the next statement they would usually make is, oh, you don't believe in the Virgin Mary. So that's how people understood us and looked at us as believers, as Baptist missionaries there in Portugal. So we had some things to overcome as we began to share with our neighbors and the people we were meeting outside the church. Well, you know, we do believe in the Virgin Mary. We believe that the mother of Jesus was a virgin, but we don't worship her as they do in Portugal. So that's just a little bit of a glimpse, walking in my shoes, of how life was different in Portugal. And it was difficult at first, but God has been so good. And I know that's because of those of you who've been praying a lot for us, as you've read our emails, as you've learned about the things that we've been going through, and even as there were things that you didn't know about, you prayed, and we want to thank you so much for that. A verse that God has really encouraged my heart with is Isaiah 41:13. It says, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. And we knew that as we went to Portugal and moved and learned all their different customs and began living as they lived, we knew that we weren't going alone. God hadn't said to us, just go, you know, I'll check on you every year or two. If you need anything, let me know, holler, I'll try to fit you into my schedule. But he was taking us by the right hand and going with us to Portugal. And we sensed his presence and his peace in ways that we never did as the person sitting in the pew in Des Moines, Iowa for 19 years and growing up in the church. And I guess our challenge to you, it was our challenge during pre-field, and again, we are just like you, so ordinary, nothing special about us. We don't know why God chose to put us in Portugal, but if God can use us, he can use anybody. And the joy that there is, even when things are tough and even when there are tears, but the joy that there is when you are where God wants you to be, doing what he wants you to do, is indescribable. So that would be our challenge to you today. Thank you.
Thanks, sweetie. What we'd like to do is sing a song, and Sweetie, why don't you go through the words with them and kind of give them a quick breakdown of what the words are.
Okay, it's called Renova-me. Renova-me, Senhor Jesus. And Renova-me is renew me or change me. It's a strong word for change. Change me, Senhor Jesus, Lord Jesus. Já não quero ser igual. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to continue the same, living the same. Renova-me, Senhor Jesus. Renew me, Lord Jesus. Põe em mim teu coração. Put in me your heart. Or in English we would say, put your heart in me. That's what we need. We need his heart in us. Porque tudo que há dentro de mim, because everything that's inside of me, necessita ser mudado, Senhor. Needs to be changed, Lord. Everything inside me needs to be changed. It's not a little renewal I need. It's total. Porque tudo que há dentro do meu coração, because everything that is inside my heart, necessita mais de ti, needs more of you.
What we should, praise the Lord, all of us should be seeking for God to change us continually. All of us have things in our lives that God brings to remembrance from time to time and says, hey, I want that part of your life. I want you to give complete control over to me. I want you to understand that you're mine completely. And what a beautiful thought as we go and live each day. We live each day in the power of His Spirit that dwells within us. This morning I'd like to challenge you briefly as a reminder mainly and as a commendation for you as a body of believers. We're going to talk about the purpose of missions, the power of missions, and then the birthplace of missions. Let's pause for a word of prayer before we open God's Word. Father, thank you so much for all that you do on our behalf. Thank you for your indwelling Holy Spirit who gives us strength and encouragement. And thank you for your Word. Thank you for your Word.
that gives us a glimpse of who you are and what you want for our lives. May we be receptive to that word this morning. May our hearts be willing to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, the purpose of missions. Many of you could probably tell me just like that. Why are you and I here on this earth? Why are we here?
Share the good news.
Share the good news, exactly. And to give glory to God by sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And where would we find that? Matthew 28. So you want to turn there, please. Matthew 28, starting at verse 18. Probably a very familiar passage to you. Matthew 28, starting at verse 18. The purpose of missions, to share the good news, to, one version says, to make disciples. Matthew 28, starting at verse 18, says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." You and I are placed on this earth to bring glory to God and to enjoy Him forever. And we bring glory to God by being obedient to what His Word says. Jesus is giving this command to His disciples. He knew that His time on earth was about finished. He was going to ascend back into heaven. And He charged His disciples. He left them with this exhortation. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," or as it might say in your version, "make disciples." The idea there is, as you and I walk through our Christian life, as you and I progress day by day, as we go, we are to make disciples. We are to teach what we have been taught. The idea is further worked out or lived out in Paul's relationship with his son in the faith, Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he charges Timothy to pass on the things that he's learned. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That's the idea that Christ had in mind, that you and I, hopefully, we're learning things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully, you've been able to come to this church and sit under good preaching and teaching. Right? What are you supposed to do with that information? Oh, yeah, great. I learned some good things and I'm just going to file it away in my computer up here. I'm going to take notes even and file it away in my file cabinet or my file cabinet. And there it sits. Is that where it's supposed to end up? No. See, Christ's idea was the information you and I receive, we're supposed to turn around and share it with somebody to pass it on. "The things that thou hast heard of me, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That's the purpose of missions. One writer stated it simply this way: Christianity and missions go hand in hand. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who claims that, we also should have this idea of sharing what we know. Missions is simply that. Sharing with someone else that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for their sins. And we can do that in Portugal. You can do that in Africa, China, Japan, wherever. And you can also do it in Cedar Rapids and Ely and Shuiville and Mount Vernon and Hiawatha and Fairfax, Walford, right next door, right? That's the charge, that the purpose behind missions is simply to share the good news. How about the power of missions? Where do you and I draw from to be able to do that? I don't know about you, but to me, it's a scary thing sometimes. Really, really scary. Oh man, what are they going to think of me if I tell them about Jesus? Well, you know, I'm trying to be macho and cool, and what are the guys? I mean, I was in the United States Marine Corps. What are the guys going to think of me if I... Scary stuff, huh? But see, it was in the Marine Corps that I found Christ. Someone loved me enough to forget themselves and share Christ with me. But you and I have power. Resurrection power and resident power. Resurrection power is found in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Matthew 28 alluded to it. In verse 18 it said, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Why did he say that to them? Well, he knew they were going to be afraid. He knew they were going to face trials and tribulations. He knew they were going to face suffering. He knew they were going to have some hard times. So he reminded them, hey, all power is given unto me. Go in that power. Resurrection power. Jesus rose from the grave. Amen? He's no longer there, right? He's in heaven. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He has the power that we can draw on. Resurrection power. Also, we have available to us resident power. Acts 1:8. Turn over there, please. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus is completing his earthly ministry. He's prepared his disciples. He's about ready to ascend back to heaven. And he tells them this, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." You shall receive power in the form of the indwelling Holy Spirit. You shall receive power to accomplish the things that I'm calling you to do. You have power to overcome those fears. You have power. And what are you supposed to do with that? What are you supposed to do? It says right there in verse 8, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and in Portugal, and in Ely, and Cedar Rapids, and Walford, and Shuleyville, and Fairfax, and Hiawatha. Ye shall be witnesses. Again, power is ours. Both the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resident power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within every true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that available. We have that available. The next time you have the opportunity to share a word of testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for your life, ask God to help you draw on that power, to help you bring up, so to speak, the resident power within you. Purpose of missions, the power of missions, the birthplace of missions as we know it now. And this is where I commend you as a body of believers. Turn over to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Christ has ascended back to heaven. He's left the disciples
here on this earth. And an amazing thing transpired. Of course, Christ's earthly ministry was centered around Jerusalem in that area, right? So how did the Word of God spread throughout the entire world? What one time was zeroed in and a pinpoint spot on the globe, now, today, the gospel is heard worldwide. One writer says that what started out as a Jewish sect, following of a few people, of this guy in A.D. 30, became a world religion by A.D. 60, just 30 years later. How do you account for that? God and the power of His Word and the spread of a testimony of changed lives. You see, you can't argue with a changed life. You can't argue with a simple testimony, hey, this is what happened to me. Some people can't explain it, but you don't have to. God is at work. So this is what took place here, Acts chapter 11. Let's start at verse 19. Now when they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. Remember that story? Stephen was stoned. Paul was standing there, Saul, witnessing all that. But because of that persecution, it forced some of the followers of Jesus to spread away from Jerusalem. It came upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Simple, simple word of testimony. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So things are happening. This idea, this belief in the Lord Jesus Christ was starting to spread. And it says a great number came unto the Lord. Let's continue. Verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. So the group of believers that was centered there in Jerusalem heard about things that were happening. People were turning to Christ down there and down there and down there. And there was Barnabas sitting in their midst. And they recognized a need down there in Antioch, or up there actually, up there in Antioch. Hey, let's send Barnabas. And he could go encourage this new group of believers. And let's see, verse 23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And this is what they say of Barnabas, verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So God was going to reward this little body of believers now in Antioch. Barnabas was sent there. You know what? Barnabas quickly realized that he couldn't accomplish anything on his own. He needed some help with this group of believers. So what does Barnabas do? He sends for Paul. Verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And look at this. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So already we see this idea of missions, simply sharing what you know, passing on information, starting to work itself out. The body of believers in Jerusalem hears of a work going on in Antioch. They take Barnabas and send him out. Barnabas gets Saul. They go there and spend a year teaching this body of believers. Now remember what I said? The purpose that God instructs us is to do what? Get us to the point where we turn around and teach someone else. We turn around and pass on that information. This little church in Antioch is going to do the same thing. Let's jump over to chapter 13. Chapter 13, starting at verse 1. Now there was in that church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Here we have that kind of an example again. Missions, sending out from amongst your midst to extend your sphere of influence, your passion for Christ around the world. And we know from history that Antioch became the sending place, the pinpoint of beginnings for many trips of Paul, many missionary journeys, and the gospel has reached around the world. Now, I said a commendation to you as a group of believers. In a very real sense, when you send out missionaries, you're doing the same thing. You're saying, as a group of believers, we want to extend our ministry to the world. So you do what it takes to provide, pray for those that you support to extend the gospel. Praise the Lord! You're being obedient to the commission that God has given. Not only prayerfully, you're doing what you can in your local communities, but you're reaching the world. And I want to say thanks. Thanks for your obedience to the Word of God and for what He's called you to do. But you know, inherent in that is also a continued challenge, isn't it? Maybe God might call some more from amongst your midst to go. I'm sure, Pastor, you know, he's not going to say, "Oh, please, all of you stay here." No. Listen to what God is doing in your heart. And if God is challenging you to do something for Him that brings you away from this group, gather around each other and send them off with joy. What we want to do now is show you a PowerPoint presentation that's going to give you a visual picture of what you have sent us to do in a very tangible way. So if we could have the lights. There we go. I think, will this work if I sit and go this way? Anywhere. Wow, what technology you guys have here.
Bem-vindo a Portugal. Welcome to Portugal, land of narrow cobblestone streets, windmills, monasteries and cathedrals, beautiful beaches, towers and castles. Centuries ago, walls were built around the castles and the cities in Portugal, primarily for protection, to keep out the enemy. It's a very old country. And as we've spent time visiting some of these castles and seeing the walls and learning to know the people, we've realized that not only are there walls around the castles and cities, but there are definitely walls around their hearts, walls that need to be penetrated with the gospel of Jesus Christ. to be Portuguese, as we shared before. This is, let me back up for a minute. This is a walled city of Abidjan that you can visit today. The walls are still intact all the way around the city. On the left there, you can see people walking around the walls. You can look down into the city. People still live in the city. You can shop at little tourist shops, but it just gives you an idea. It made us think of the walls around Jerusalem and the story of Nehemiah when those walls were repaired. But the walls are strong, kept out the enemy, and we really do see walls around their hearts, walls that need to be penetrated with the gospel of Christ. To be Portuguese is to be Roman Catholic. As Cal shared in Sunday school, 90% of the people are Roman Catholic, at least in name, even though they may never attend church. The cathedrals are beautiful, but not very well attended. These are pictures of prayer candles at a place called Fatima, where people make pilgrimages. In the early 1900s, some children were watching sheep, and it is believed that they saw a vision of the Virgin Mary. So this has become a very holy place where people go and believe that they can receive special blessings from God and have their prayer answered in special ways as they burn these candles to the Virgin Mary and to God at Fatima. Walls that need to be broken down. Lives that need to be changed. And our goal as we minister in Portugal is to help people climb out of the darkness, the dungeons of despair, and empty religious ceremony and ritual, and out into a light that many times they really don't even realize exists.
ABWE, the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism, and in Portugal in 1979, with the goal of establishing churches that would reproduce themselves. So far, they've been able to establish 8 churches in and around the greater Lisbon area. 3 of those churches have national pastors, and this is our pastor, Pastor Beto, at Igreja Batista Dolores. ABWE has attempted many avenues to reach the people for Christ. Camps, bringing young boys and girls and teaching them the Word of God. Through a music ministry, people from those 8 churches gather together and put on concerts at the holiday season around different places in Lisbon. Through children's ministries, there's our youngest daughter, Charity. She worked with a group of young girls last summer, and it was quite a stretch for her. It was done all in Portuguese. And they had, get this, I couldn't believe it, they had it's called Campo Dentro. A campo dentro, where they bring the kids and keep them in the church overnight, starting at age 4. They were in the church for 3 nights. So it was quite a challenge for her. Also, a great ministry to teens. And we're also trying to develop a ministry using English instruction to make inroads so we might be able to share the gospel. We've had the privilege of seeing several saved. Sylvette, who is a member of our church, was saved back in September 2002. Inez was baptized in October along with several others. She was just recently married, and it's a joy to see young families begun. We left Iowa, packed what was remaining of our lives into 60 boxes, and there you see them, right there. We put them in a garage in Lisbon as we awaited finding a place to stay. Here's the view of from our school balcony. The greater Lisbon area, 3 million people, a lot of them involved in living in these apartment buildings. Some old, some new. A common sight is laundry. Excuse me, hanging out everywhere. But God has allowed us to live in this little, it's called a vivenda. It's not an apartment per se, but it involves 3 families living in this facility. We live up on the second floor. These 3 windows would comprise our living space. Common in Portugal, a family would build a dwelling like this with the idea that their children would live with them. And that's what this situation is. The landlord built this. He had 2 daughters. The idea was for them to live with them, and they might live with them well into their 40s.
called Vivenda Tres Casais, a dwelling for three couples. Here's a little entrance to where we live. Ruth, who is our neighbor, she lives right below us. We had the joy of seeing her saved back in September as well. God has just given us a wonderful opportunity to interact with our neighbors and to share with them. And Ruth is saved, and she's faithfully attending one of our ABWE churches now. Ruth has a brother, Diogo. Pray for Diogo, if you would. He has not yet trusted Christ. I've been working with him on a weekly basis, teaching him or helping him with his English, and also attending his soccer games, and with the idea that one day I might be able to share Christ with Diogo. This is their mother, Mathilde, who happens to be Charity's language teacher. Mathilde is in a wheelchair. She was in a car accident 15 years ago. Joyce has had the opportunity to do a Bible study with her. We believe she's a believer.